Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. View, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we try to help focus you on the events of the last 8.5 weeks or 9 weeks or whatever, wherever we are now. I went back to work last week, and maybe I'll talk a little bit about that, maybe not. Actually, I want to start right with a shocking story out of the war file. China's rubber stamp government in Hong Kong is planning to impose a new law there that, some people say it's the end of Hong Kong, or at least Hong Kong being free, or semi-autonomous, or however that's been defined. It seems to me that while the world is on its knees, China's just going to make their move and take Hong Kong, right in front of God and everybody in broad daylight. That's what it seems like. I've got a quote here from Joshua Wong. He's an anti-China activist, and he asks the following questions: What will become of Hong Kong? How many will be prosecuted? How many groups will be replaced? Will we be transferred to China? Will we be arrested or imprisoned? He says, I think I have a duty to stand firm with my position. There is no reason to give up on fostering possibilities for gaining international support. Lawmaker Tanya Chan there says, this is the saddest day in Hong Kong's history. Wow. That was Friday when the Chinese basically introduced a bill to end Hong Kong, to take Hong Kong. The Chinese security law, they call it, is intended to isolate the Hong Kong protest movement from international supporters. So if you remember, before we started this, what is now the longest sustained period of popular delusion ever in the history of man, before we started all this, do you remember China was trying to make its move with Hong Kong, and Hong Kong was resisting the people of Hong Kong? I remember there were other things going on before the dread virus. Well, Hong Kong has made their move. I'm sorry, China has made their move against Hong Kong. And Hong Kong may be no more. And so, virus or no virus. And no matter what you think of my opinion, there's just no way this would be happening if the world had not flinched and dropped to our knees instead of just behaving like adults and men. But anyway. We move from there. Very depressing. And the people in Taiwan have to be quite nervous and concerned. Quite nervous. Anyway, we shall see what occurs, but it's occurring. So we'll go from Hong Kong into our science, really, file, where researchers are calling for climate change to be recorded as a cause of death on death certificates. Climate change. Okay. Well, I guess maybe if you froze to death, you could technically say there was a change in the climate that definitely contributed. But that's not what they mean. They claim that the rate of people dying as a result of global warming, and they actually use the term global warming, may be 50 times higher than officially acknowledged. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, who are all these experts who are saying this? It's two people, two relatively obscure researchers, Arne Greta Hunter and Simon Quilty, at the Australian National University. So it's not exactly a consensus in the public health community, but hey, we've seen what two relatively obscure bureaucrats or professors or academics, we've seen what just two of them can do. I was telling this guy on my flight the other day. That's right. I got an airplane. I flew to and from, a couple of hours in the air both ways. And I was the only one on the plane who did not wear a mask. And it's not that I refuse to wear a mask. If someone asks me to wear a mask because they're afraid of getting sick, I'll put the mask on if it makes them feel better. But anyway, I was the only one on the plane not wear. By the way, it's not a bad time to fly. At least my flight out, the plane was only a third full, and it was immaculate. I've never seen a plane this clean. It's basically how they should have been cleaning them the whole time. They're finally doing that now. I mean, it smelled like an operating room. And what's hilarious, I mean, you could see that everything had been wiped down. You could see it. Everything was shining and glowing. And yet the woman who crawled in the seat behind me wiped everything down with wipes. She spent the first minute and a half just wiping everything. It was weird. Now, where was I going with that, though? Oh, that's right. So I said to this guy on the plane, because, one of the male stewardesses came up to me and he said, "Sir, I'm going to need you to put on your mask." And I said, you know, I had him lean in because I didn't want to cause a disruption, right? I didn't want to have a fight with this chick, this male stewardess. That's not my goal. So I asked him to lean in and I said, "Listen, for reasons having to do with my personal health situation, I've chosen not to wear a mask." And he absolutely did not know what to say. He just said, "Okay, I'm going to trust you." And he walked back to wherever the male stewardesses go to be socially distant. So this guy behind me, he notices that not only am I not wearing a mask, I was asked to wear a mask, and the stewardess walked away without making me wear a mask. So we got to talking a little bit about how crazy we think all this is. And I told him about the paper. By the way, I have an update on that paper. Where is this? I wasn't even going to talk about this COVID stuff until later. But you know, I just gotta, where is the paper? Anyway, I'll get to the, you remember I mentioned a paper that, Fauci and Neil Ferguson had commented on? Uh-huh. A paper written by two relatively obscure doctors, and I don't even think they were epidemiologists. I think they were just doctors. Well, I'm not going to be able to get to it. I'm not going to be able to find it. And I shouldn't have wasted so much time trying to find it because, whatever. I couldn't find it. All right. But basically, this paper was written by two relatively obscure doctors. There's a claim that the paper on social distancing that I referenced last week. Oh, by the way, folks, last week's show, there was a technical problem. So last week's show was linked incorrectly by our inept webmaster, who has been duly punished, I can assure you. So if your podcast service sent you a repeat show, just delete it and download it again in whatever your podcast app is, and you'll get last week's show. And it'll be worth it. Last week's show was a rough one, folks. I was not making friends and influencing people. Well, I'll just say I was not making friends, put it that way. So I'm sorry about the problems with last week's show. It does exist, and if you missed it, you're going to want to hear it. All right, and I appreciate the avalanche of calls I got from people. Very encouraging to know that there's that many people who freak out when they don't get my podcast. It makes me feel really good about myself. But where was I going? Oh, so I told this guy about the paper and how it was written by two people I'd never heard of. And then there was an interview with Dr. Fauci and an interview with Dr. Neil Ferguson. And I said it was as if four evil scientists somehow took over the world. It's like a James Bond movie or something, and not a very good one. Anyway, we had quite the laugh about that. And then later on in the flight, just to show you how... I think this is a commentary on the state of masculinity in America, okay? I'll just leave it at that. I was approached again by a male stewardess who said, "Sir, on the airplane, we're going to need you to wear your mask." And I said, you know, for reasons having to do with my personal health situation, I've chosen not to wear a mask. And just stunned, like deer in the headlights, doesn't even know what to do. I'm sure he was thinking, like, am I going to have to, like, throw this guy down and, like, force him into a mask? Is that, there's no protocol for that. We didn't get training beyond telling people they have to wear a mask and then having them put it on. Because so far, everybody just put it on. This guy said something. I have not been trained. So he just walked away in stunned disbelief. And that happened three times, by the way, on the flight. Three separate male stewardesses asked me to remove my mask, and I told them. Anyway, so the third time, one of the guys sitting next to the guy that I had been talking, well, the guy I had been talking to, he pulled his mask down to his chin. And then the guy next to him pulled his mask off, and he said, I choose not to wear a mask. And so they toyed with the idea of being men for about 30 seconds. And then they put their masks back on. I don't know why. I don't know why. Anyway, yeah. All right. And if you think you're better than other people because you wear a mask and that means you care about other people, it just really means that you are just participating in the greatest, longest sustained episode of mass hysteria and popular delusion that's ever happened. And I'm sorry, folks. It's not healthy to encourage people in delusion. All right, and no matter what you thought when the lockdown first started, no matter what you thought, right by at this point in history, boys and girls, it's delusion, it's hysteria, okay? And I'm not going to encourage it just to make someone feel better. Maybe one person, if I can see the fear in their eyes that the COVID's gonna, if I can see it in their eyes, they could probably persuade me just out of my kind nature to wear a mask just so they don't wet themselves. But anyway, let's see. Let's just move on, okay? The global warming guys. They want, yeah. So, yeah, these two experts who want climate change to be put on death certificates. So far, it's only two. But like I say, we got to be careful. I think we need to keep a better eye on these academics. I had no idea they could be this dangerous. I thought they just theorized stuff. You know, what harm could there be there? Okay. All right, meanwhile, folks, from the death penalty file, James Fairbanks has been arrested. He has been arrested, and he wrote a letter. He actually turned himself in. But before he turned himself in, he wrote a letter and sent it to all the media outlets that he could. And James Fairbanks' letter reads in part thusly. Dear media, I am writing this email to let you know that I killed Matteo Condolucci Thursday, May 14th, around 9:45 p.m. You see, I had read where he had raped two children and been convicted twice and only served 2 years in prison for raping children, all caps. So I seen his address was right around the block from where I was looking to get an apartment. So I drove by, and to my horror, he was standing in his driveway pretending to wash his truck, no soap, no water, just a rag, while staring at a group of children playing in the street. The kids thankfully left, and he went inside. And I went around to his backyard, and what I found was no fence, just a slide and a playhouse. And he said, I felt sick to my stomach. He said, it agonized me for days. I couldn't sleep. I researched him some more, and I found that he had victimized dozens of kids in different states. One kid's mother had created a predator Facebook page about him, trying to warn people about him. Her son had been assaulted by him when he was 5 years old, and the damage led the poor guy to die of a drug overdose years later. I could not, in good conscience, allow him to do it to anyone else while I had the means to stop him. I am willing to turn myself in, because it's my opinion that we need to fix this in our society. We cannot let this continue to happen to children. I know in this messed up judicial system, that means I will face far more severe punishment for stopping him than he did for raping kids. But I could no longer do nothing. If you need proof, the gun was a 9mm, the front door was left open, and the TV was on. I will turn myself in as soon as I see this has been released. Or I think he meant published. And the newspaper published it, and he has turned himself in, and he has been charged with murdering a pedophile. And that's it. I'm just going to leave the story at that. The man did. The man did what he did. That's all. Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. So, this idea that we've decided, someone decided for us that we were going to tolerate child molesters, has driven an apparently normal, law-abiding citizen to become a murderer. And what else can you say? He deserves his day in court. I'll just leave it at that. So, it's infuriating. Talk about being ruled by bureaucrats and lawyers. You know, the idea that we've been brainwashed to believe that we should accept these people to live amongst us is probably a worse delusion than this whole corona panic, the panic of 2020. It's probably a worse delusion. People actually think that they're good and tolerant and nice people because they want to rehabilitate someone who rapes a child. And it drives normal people insane. All right, now, I want to go from there and back into the science, really, file, where I found the report. So this paper was written by two government doctors, the paper I talked about either last week or the week before, I forget. Basically, it's the social distancing paper. The paper was written by two government doctors, not even epidemiologists. First suggested in a 2006 study. I don't know that it was a study. I think it was just a paper. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, by New Mexico scientist Robert J. Glass, who got the idea from his 14-year-old daughter's science project. Now, supposedly, that's what Glass says himself. I have not been able to independently confirm that. This is out of the New York Post. And so there's a good chance that the 14-year-old daughter, that may not be true. I don't know. But the fact is that paper was written by this Robert J. Glass. And then two government doctors, sorry, not even epidemiologists, Richard Hatchett and Carter Meacher. Two functionaries in the Bush administration hatched the idea of using government-enforced social distancing, and they hope to try it out on the next virus. So it's like I told the guy on the plane. It's like three or four obscure academics somehow took over the world. All right. This, by the way, I got this reference from a story. About 1968 through 1970, there was a pandemic called the Hong Kong flu. So my mother was nurturing me as a small child during the first wave of the Hong Kong flu. It started in July of 1968 when I was about 4 months old. 3 months old. And by the way, the Hong Kong flu, listen to this. It's a H3N2. They called it one of the worst epidemics in the nation's history. It had evolved from the strain that caused the 1957 pandemic. When they say evolved, they mean mutated, but, you know, that's why we're in the science, really, file. Anyway, in 1968, 1969, 1970, it came in three waves. This was a brand new virus, but schools were not shut down. There were a few, but that was because of too many sick teachers. Face masks were never required. They weren't even common. Woodstock took place in the midst of the pandemic, although it was in August. It was in the summer, which I'm praying the summer is what ends this hysteria. Eventually, it's going to be summer, right? And are people going to be able to be convinced? Are people going to remain fearful throughout the summer over a cold bug? I think it's possible. I think all bets are off at this point. I can't really rationally predict or figure anything out about how this is going. Woodstock happened. The first wave ended in early March 1969, went right through the winter. It flared up again in November of 69. But Woodstock went on. Giant concert with a virus that had no known cure. And then they go on to say, hey, all this... No one ever even thought of something like this in 1968, 1969, because it's obvious that it would be patently insane to try to shut down the world. But here we are in 2020, and here we sit with states reopening. By the way, the airport, surreal. It was surreal. It was almost empty, and everyone's walking around like a zombie with their masks on, and it was just weird. I must have walked past at least 20 signs that said, you must have a mask, you must have a mask, you must have a mask. And I didn't have a mask. And at neither airport was I ever asked or ordered to wear a mask. You know, it might be that when people look at you and they just see your face, it doesn't immediately strike them as something's wrong. And so it's like a Jedi mind trick. You just walk through the airport and nobody notices you don't have a mask because their minds are wired so that nobody has a mask. It'd be weird if everyone had a mask. I don't know. It's just I'm living in a weird alternate universe or something. But anyway, great time to fly. Although the flight home was actually fairly full. I was kind of surprised. Yeah, and we weren't social distancing. We were right up next against to each other, you know? Like all three seats full. Yeah, well, at least I got the aisle. I was lucky enough to get the aisle. All right.
What about the sneeze?
What about the sneeze?
Yeah, that woman.
Oh, the sneeze. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I got to tell you this one. All right. So you've all been in a room or on an airplane when someone cracks the window and the light comes through just right that you can see every dust particle in the air, right? You've all experienced that, right? And I always think, man, I can't believe how dusty and filthy this place is. You could be in the cleanest room wherever. It's still, the light comes through just right, lights up every particle. So I'm sitting there in my seat. I'm reading a novel, Sheepdogs. I highly recommend it. Go on Amazon or wherever you go and just check out Sheepdogs by Gordon Carroll. It's very well written. I was actually surprised. So I'm enjoying my book, but I'm kind of nodding off a little bit. As one is wont to do on an airplane. I'm beginning to nod off just a little bit, but I cracked my eyes open and my head hit just that right angle so the light was coming through perfectly behind this woman's head. And she leaned forward and she grabbed her mask and she pulled it down, exposing her nose. She then took a tissue and put it to her nose and proceeded to blow. So it was like an eruption of Old Faithful all over the row in front of her. The particles bounced off of her hand and the tissue up into the air into a cloud and then slowly wafted down upon everyone around her. But she felt good about herself because she's protecting other people by wearing her mask. Anyway, it was surreal. It was almost as if it happened in slow motion. That was, and then, so I'm asthmatic, and so sometimes I cough. I'm in the airport, I'm talking to people, I got people on the phone telling them how it feels like I'm walking on the moon in the airport, it's so weird, the airport's weird, there's nobody here, Nobody will look at each other. Nobody's talking to each other. It's just weird. And in the midst of my phone call, something got caught in my throat. I stopped and I coughed loudly. And I mean, two-thirds of the people stopped in their tracks and looked at me like I had just fired a gun. It was so bizarre. So I survived. And we'll see. Now I'm in the incubation period. I probably should have self-quarantined for 2 weeks, going out there unprotected. All right, so anyway, the Hong Kong flu, by the way, there are estimates. We don't know exactly. A lot of rural hospitals back then didn't keep records like we do now. But the Hong Kong flu eventually killed somewhere between 1 and 300,000 Americans. And it killed somewhere between 3 and 5 million people across the whole world. And yet it did not break the world. Okay, so anyway. Now, is this, I've said this is a delusion. And I have even said to some of my friends that I feel like almost everyone in the world has joined a cult. And I'm not wanting in. But it feels like everybody has joined a cult. And they're all wearing matching sneakers. It's just weird. Well, psychotherapist Dr. Hugh Wilborn, this is from Summit News. Dr. Hugh Wilborn says lockdown zealots are displaying all the classic signs of cult membership by doubling down on their beliefs despite having been proven wrong. Yes, yes, he's written an article, and in it he highlights the work of psychologist Leon Festinger, or it might be Festinger. Festinger, we'll go with Festinger, rolls a little more easily off the tongue. Leon Festinger, who analyzed the beliefs of a UFO cult back in the 1950s, there was a cult back then who believed that a flying saucer would rescue them from the apocalypse. However, after the catastrophic earthquakes and floods they expected to hit the United States never arrived, and their beliefs were totally disproven, the cult members would become not less, but more convinced of their beliefs. Festinger identified 5 conditions that needed to be met in order for the cult members to double down on their beliefs and avoid cognitive dissonance. Number 1, there must be conviction. Number 2, commitment to the conviction. 3, the conviction must be amenable to equivocal disconfirmation. Unequivocal disconfirmation must then occur. Social support must be available subsequent to the disconfirmation. So they all just huddle in a circle and deny that they were completely wrong. And so that's a cult. That's the definition of a cult. And so anyway, I'm observing that in people. It's cult-like behavior. Festinger's 5 conditions correspond closely with the situation with Brexit, climate change, and COVID-19. A prophecy is made. Believers invest themselves, their time, their money, and their prestige in the prophecy. Then the prophecy fails, and the believers become even more fervent. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. He goes on, the doctor notes how terrifying predictions of how many people COVID-19 would kill have fallen massively short of the models. They've been thoroughly debunked, in fact. he reminds us that at one point we were believing that 500,000 people were going to die in England. And not even 500,000 people have died across the whole world from this thing. To put it into perspective, the number of people who have died of or with COVID-19 in about 4.5 months is the same as the number who die in 5 days from cardiovascular disease. So let that sink in. Oh, is it sunk? Experts are still doubling down anyway, says the doctor. Warning of mass death if the lockdown is lifted too early and a second wave of infections. In reality, research suggests that the lockdowns had a minimal impact on infection numbers, and Sweden's per capita death toll is lower than numerous other countries, despite that Scandinavian country having imposed no hard lockdown. Don't expect an apology, though. No, no, no. The Festinger effect is far, far more prevalent than a clear-sighted view of reality. Ain't that the truth? Festinger's UFO cult had a few dozen members. The COVID cult seems to have infected half the world. And if Festinger's right, the bad news is we won't be able to persuade people to stop social distancing, even if we prove that the danger posed by COVID-19 has been dramatically overstated. On the contrary, people's opposition to returning to normal life will intensify rather than diminish as the evidence mounts that they were wrong. Meanwhile, Karens all over the world don't show any signs of giving up on something that legitimizes their favorite thing in the world, lecturing other people about their behavior. McBurney, thank you. Okay, please let me go. Let my people go. Okay, so it's back to today's Sunday. So today we walked into a church that never closed, and I didn't know there were any of those. But we were driving in a neighborhood, and we just came to a stop sign, and there's a church with the doors open, and you can hear people singing, which is technically not allowed.
Oh, yeah, it was more than...
And there was way more than 10 people in there. And they were not socially distant, my friends. No. And so I drove around the block just to confirm if what I had seen was true, and it was. And so we parked the car and got in and went to church. Got out of the car and went to church. Hung out with these people and sang some songs and worshiped the Lord and then ate some food. And it was as if we had landed on a normal planet for just a few... Anyway, we didn't realize until... later on, we thought that they had just opened, because a lot of people are opening in protest now. But no, he said, no, we never closed. We just told people it was up to them if they wanted to come to church or not. And he said, we got down real, he said, you know, some weeks we only had 11, 12, 13 people. He said, it got thin there at times. But it's not a big church either. It's my kind of church. Probably, the church maybe hold 100 people on Easter, maybe. Anyway, it was a great time, and we're really happy. I didn't get the name of the church, or I'd plug them on the air. But why should I plug them on the air? Anyway, they're not looking for fame. But the pastor did tell us that he made a point to open all the doors during all of his services. So it's not like he tried to hide. And so it was pretty fun. What else? What else do I have here?
The police came on
Easter. Yeah, the police came on Easter, and he just told the police, you know, come on in, we'll pray for you. Police were like. Kind of hard to arrest you after you said that. So he said the police just left. You know, they talked for a little while, told him he was in violation. He agreed. And then they left. And so, as far as we know, no one at his church has died. But very few people where we live have died. I mean, your chances of getting killed in a car accident, I believe, are about 100 times greater than dying with COVID where we live. And we drove, by the way. So anyway, I have participated in two instances of peaceful civil disobedience. So I just told you about the one on the airplane, which I didn't know what was going to happen because, you know, on an airplane these days, if you disobey their orders, I mean, I believe it's a federal crime. So I was really pushing it on that one. But I was pleasantly surprised that when you just push back a little bit, these people don't know how to deal with it. They're stunned. you know? I was thinking maybe that I was going to have like three homos grab me and hold me down in a chair and put a mask on me. I know. I was worried.
You might get
something. By the forget coronavirus, for crying out loud. Need a penicillin shot. Anyway, but I had another one. So I and my extremely attractive audio engineer, we took our kids to the beach. Took our kids to the beach, and they were in out in the water playing on a beach, right? And where we live, you can go to the beach, but you can't sit down on the beach. You cannot sunbathe on the beach. Now, also where we live, you can go to the park, and you can sit down in the park, and you can sunbathe in the park, but not on the beach. So we're at the beach watching the girls doing their boogie board, and there's an 80-year-old woman sitting in a chair. I believe there was two women next to each other. Mm-hmm. Two women, one of them easily 80 years old, with their little umbrella, and they're sitting on the beach, and there's nobody within 30 feet of them. And the lifeguard drives up in his SUV, and he's obviously rousting these women, telling them that they have to stand up. And how do I know that? Because he had been rousting people all up the beach, and I'd been watching. And I was just festering, and I was not happy. And by the time he got to the old woman, that was it. I walked up to the car, and I said, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're rousting an 80-year-old woman up off the beach. I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. I said, you're a bully. I said, you should just drive up and down the beach and yell whatever you got to yell through your blowhorn, your loudspeaker, and just do whatever you need to do to get by. But this is ridiculous. Anyway, we got into it a little. He said he hated it. I said, well, you should quit. He said, well, how can I quit? How am I supposed to pay my mortgage? I said, well, you don't seem like an idiot to me. I'm sure you figure out a way to pay your mortgage outside of just being a lifeguard. And by the way, you know, that's what the guards at Auschwitz said. I can't quit. How am I supposed to pay my mortgage? Oh, he didn't like hearing that. It got a little hot there for a moment. But in the end, he ended up driving that SUV up onto the beach where they normally park when they're actually looking for people drowning. And they pretty much stayed there the whole time, if I remember correctly. He didn't roust any more women off the beach. At least while I was there, he didn't. I didn't see it. All right. So there's my civil disobedience, but I have yet to be arrested. And in fact, I have it on good authority from a sheriff's deputy that I talked to that it might be difficult to get yourself arrested because 99.9% of the police absolutely do not want to enforce any of this stuff. In fact, some departments have been instructed not to enforce. Like, don't be rousting someone out of a park or bringing someone in handcuffs because they weren't socially distanced. If you bring someone in handcuffs because they weren't socially distancing, their handcuffs are going to come off, and you, officer, are going to be punished. In fact, that's the word in some places. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. Did I already talk about last week's show and how our idiotic webmaster messed up the link? Did I mention that he's been duly punished? And if your podcast service sent you a repeat, just delete it, download it again, and it'll be last week's show. We got it fixed. And then what else? Oh, we have an update on a syndrome that was identified on the Weekly Worldview over the past few weeks. It has evolved, so to speak. It's a syndrome that we had likened here to the behavior of a weatherman when his forecast from yesterday is the complete opposite of what is happening right now on the screen, and he just goes on as if nothing. Yes, we identified it a few weeks back, but now it has been officially defined and recorded, I believe, by a research committee. I'm not sure. It may have been at Merriam-Webster. It may have been at Oxford. But I'm not 100% sure about that part of it. But the syndrome that we have identified is now going to be officially called fouching. F-A-U-C-H-I-N-G. What is it to be fouching? Fouching is the act of professing consistently incoherent and even contradictory advice while simultaneously convincing those around you that you are an expert. Fouching. And you're going to see a lot more of it. If this whole cult thing plays out, there's going to be fouching on a grand and global level. It's going to be going on everywhere. Personally, don't want to deal with that. Now I don't want to do these other stories because I'm going to do them because, you know, there's a real world out there, folks. And one thing that my extremely attractive audio engineer said to me within the last 10 days, as we were talking about the good old days, she reminded me that the good old days weren't all that good. There's a lot of bad things going on. In fact, the whole world was degenerating into an immoral cesspool. And there's blood in the streets, the people being murdered and robbed and beaten. And the immorality being pumped into our schools and into our homes and into the minds of our children. Well, that takes us to reason number 1,244 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. An Arkansas public school teacher has been arrested on suspicion of rape. The victim was a 13-year-old student, it says. And you know, whenever it says student, you know what that means. That means it was not a girl. Anyway, law enforcement, once they began investigating, they uncovered evidence of additional crimes against other children. Just same old story, right? This is the kind of stuff that drove that guy insane. The guy who wrote the letter to the newspaper, who I just talked about. James Fairbanks. Drove a normal law-abiding citizen to just lose his mind and blow away one of these bastards. That's what happened. So reason number 1,244, no particular order, to get your children out of the government schools is they may be raped. From there, we go to the domestic tranquility file where Hina Sadia, a 31-year-old mother, has been arrested. Sadia called 911 last Sunday, and she said she killed her daughter, and her son was next. And then when the police arrived, they found both children unclothed, wet in the bathtub. The girl was completely limp, not moving. The doctors immediately began providing medical treatment. The dispatcher asked the mother why she wanted to take her children's lives. And the mother said that I'm a bad mother and I cannot take care of my kids. And so that's a problem to have. You know, you're having a hard time taking care of your kids. It's stressful. Maybe she's a single mother. She's having to work and it's very difficult. So I think this woman has a lot of problems in her life. And she just decided that what she was going to do to solve her problem was to kill her children. And how could she do that? Right? It's shocking, right? Well, women do it all the time, and fathers too, by the way. They do it all the time. They do it a million, maybe 2 million times a year if you count all the abortifacient pills, the abortion pills they got out there, the chemical weapons now. And so the more we choose to select murder as an option to solve a problem, I mean, that ends up embedded in our DNA. I truly believe that our collective conscience is, it just gets easier and easier. And just because the kid's not in the womb, well, it's still, I mean, it's now an option. And it's horrible. It's horrible. And in the midst of that, real problems, real tragedy, real crime, the United Nations has released a new dictionary of gender-neutral terms. The object of the new gender-neutral dictionary, according to the UN, it's unwomen, by the way, that's who posted the dictionary, unwomen, states that they want to help create a more equal world by using gender-neutral language if you're unsure about someone's gender or are referring to a group. Yes, this is trying to replace the old grammatical rule that the masculine encompasses the feminine and groups. You can just say him, but not anymore. They want to replace mankind with humankind, chairman with chair, like that. At least they shorten it. Replace landlord with owner. Okay, well, that seems a bit unusual. Use the term family name instead of maiden name. Well, that's just confusing. Representative instead of businessman. Okay. And, you know, you'd think, folks, that a crisis this acute, I mean, what we're about to go through economically is quite possibly the most catastrophic economic situation in all of human history, and you'd think that would wake people up to focusing on reality and things that are real, but no. Unwomen and the UN in general continues to just la-di-da down the street, completely intent on brainwashing everyone else into being a gender-neutral deviant. And so even if we go back to the good old days, these people are still going to be around. So we've got an awful lot of work to do. So let's stick together and get to it. Glad you stuck with us. We are back. That's right. And we go right into the personhood file where Ecuador has applied to the United Nations. They're asking for $46 million in relief due to the COVID-19 panic of 2020. And the UN was considering giving Ecuador some relief until they remembered that in Article 45 of Ecuador's constitution, the following statement resides: children and adolescents shall enjoy the rights that are common to all human beings, in addition to those that are specific to their age. The state shall recognize and guarantee life, including care and protection from the time of conception. That's right, abortion is illegal in Ecuador. And so the Powdered Wig Society is reporting that the United Nations has issued communications to governing officials in Ecuador stating that they can have the $46 million in relief money. In fact, the UN is happy to assist the Ecuadorian people in this terrible time of need, on one condition: that Ecuador legalizes the butchering of the most innocent among them, their unborn children. So will Ecuador take the money? I kind of doubt it. In fact, I really hope they don't. And we're going to keep our eye on Ecuador, as we do on the whole world. That's why it's the worldview. We go now into the politics file, where diversity is the word of the day in Utah. That's right, diversity. Because the Utah State Senate just had Yusuf Awadir Abdi, the Imam of the Medina Islamic Center of Utah in Salt Lake City. The Imam Abdi has delivered the opening prayer at one of the sessions of the Utah State Senate. And you know how tolerant they are in Utah? Abdi is on a terror watch list, but they still invited him to the same. Now that's the height of tolerance. You can't get more tolerant than that. The only way you get more tolerant than that is to let them cut your head off. That's Medina Islamic Center of Utah, on their Facebook page. Their Facebook page features greetings for the end of last year's Ramadan celebrations delivered by Senator Mitt Romney. What did Mitt write on their Facebook page? Eid Mubarak! Doesn't sound like something Mitt would be comfortable with, but, well, whatever. One pile of pagans and another. You know, one just happens to be a murderous death cult, and the other one is just, you know, really annoying and consume a lot of mayonnaise. Well, I don't know. There's the Mormon church is very, very white. Well, they used to be full-on racist. But now let's go. Speaking of death cults and cults in general, I think atheism is something of a cult. At least I know people involved in it who display cult-like behavior. I've proven them wrong on so many issues over so many years, and yet they still won't listen. Well, I don't really know what it is. I think it's a website called Atheist Forum. And Atheist Forum offers a series of questions to get you to doubt the existence of God. Okay, you want me to read the questions? The first question is, if God is immaterial, what is he made of? Wow, these guys are deep. Wow, they got me there. All of a sudden, I'm not sure. I may have to scrap my entire belief system. Wow. Second question, if God isn't material, then does he exist? Third, how do so many people believe he exists but can't describe what he's made of? Wow, these guys, they have blown my mind. I may have to sign up into the atheist ranks. Well, this is the story is from stream.org, and they say that any thoughtful person following this atheist line of reasoning should see how foolishly funny it is to believe in an immaterial God. But then they go on, and they just remind us of, just some simple rules of logic and reality. The first question, they say, contains a fundamental flaw. Yes, it's incoherent. Uh-huh. God's not made of anything. He's not made of particles or spaghetti. How about that? Yep, God is spirit. That's pretty easy to answer. And then the second question, if God is immaterial, what is he made of, is like asking, if a bachelor is unmarried, who is he married to? Yeah, it's just silly. And let's see here. And then the third question starts with the answer that it wants. Only material things exist. This is called circular reasoning. Philosophers and atheists, by the way, routinely speak of real things that are not made of material, like reasoning and arguments and logical fallacies. What are they made of? How do so many people believe that God exists but can't describe what he is made of? This is a confused complaint. You don't need to know what something is made of to know that it exists. We know gravity exists, even if we don't know what it is. Pretty good. I like these guys over at stream.org. That's ST, as in tango. I was unfamiliar, but that was pretty good. Now we go into the hard religion file, where we have a report that a pastor who was kidnapped and thought to have been dead for more than a year has been reunited with his family in Myanmar. Pastor Tun In, he allegedly refused to join the insurgent Arakan army. That's what happens in these third world countries, is these armies go and they recruit people by, like, join us or we will kill you or your whole family, or you and your whole family. And then they kidnap and torture people, and you either end up joining their army or you die, your family dies. It's horrible to imagine what this guy's been through. He described his 14-month captivity as the most hellish time of my life, spiritually, mentally, and in particular, physically. I'm sure. The 42-year-old pastor, his wife and three kids have moved to a different region and are basically hiding, but they say they're continuing their ministry work for Gospel of Asia. They're preaching the gospel. Prior to his kidnapping, Tun served a church of 50 people for over 20 years. Sounds like my kind of guy. I like it. And now we get from there, I'm just so thrilled that guy came back. I mean, his family must have just, can you imagine when you think somebody's dead for a year? And they come back, that's got to be like one of the most joyful, festive. That had to be incredible. But the world continues to turn. We go and we jump back into the science, really, file, where Just the News reports about the antibody testing, which I've been wondering, why is nobody in the mainstream media reporting on the widespread data on antibody testing? And this article answers one of the fundamental questions that I've been asking since the beginning of this. Since the early days of March, when I first started hearing things like the word lockdown, and I was in Manhattan, and I thought the world is about to lose their minds. They're going to go crazy. They're going to lock me on this island. I'm never going to get off. And I've been wondering about this ever since those days. And let me just get to this. Just the News reports alarm are surrounding the early estimates about the death rate are being disproven by antibody tests. Antibody tests are significantly undercutting those projections. In early March, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom. The guy sounds like a pagan cult leader or a pagan high priest. Tedros Adhanom. Like a character out of a science fiction novel. Well, he declared that about 3.4% of reported COVID-19 cases have died. And he said this, by comparison, the seasonal flu generally kills far fewer than 1% of those infected. Okay, so, and I think I caught this, but I think it was subconscious because I'm not a math guy. Now, I'm not a math guy. I'm a grammar guy. I'm not good at calculating. I'm okay at talking sometimes. But this is what I think I was lurking in the back of my subconscious mind. Just the News says, for reasons that were unclear, Adhanom was comparing the death rate of reported COVID-19 cases to that of the total number of influenza infections. If the flu death rates were to be calculated the same way, the mortality rate would be vastly higher than it actually is. Most flu cases go undiagnosed. Health officials, therefore, calculate the mortality rates based on estimates, not actual confirmed cases. And this was what I was wondering. Why are they reporting the data this way when that's never been the way they did it? Anyway, so that's one of the reasons from the very beginning of this, I had a feeling that these numbers were just not accurate. Plus my general distrust of people who have basically been lying to almost everyone about almost everything for my entire adult life. There was that too. Well, a growing series of tests conducted by labs throughout the country suggests that, like influenza, COVID-19 is significantly more widespread than it seems, and its death rate is consequently much lower. In New York, tests indicated that as many as 25% of the residents had contracted the disease. Did you get that? A quarter of the people in New York already have this thing. Around a third, about a third of the people in Chelsea, Massachusetts tested positive, which is 16 times the known infection rate at the time. Miami-Dade, they're estimating there that the prevalence of the disease could be 20 times higher than is being currently reported every day on the news to scare people. And to convince people that they still need to participate in this idiotic lockdown. In Santa Clara County, California, research suggested the infection rate is 80 times higher than what is being allowed to be reported as fact. In Boston, 10% of residents had antibodies. Say it could be as high as 20%. They need to do more research. In Spain, upwards of 5% might have already contracted the virus, significantly more than the 0.5% suggested by confirmed case. So these are orders of magnitude. All right, I'm going to stop repeating myself. Anyway, I hope there aren't any people in this audience who are terrified of this disease any longer. Because, folks, the math is in. The data's in. We watch the hospitals not get filled up, right? We watch this whole thing happen. And, by the way, the projections were if we locked down. So don't tell me the lockdown worked. The lockdown was the unjustified, unnecessary panic response of a bunch of insane people. I don't know. It's almost like a collective spastic fit globally. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, we go into the justice file where you can see the actual impact that the lockdown has had and the subsequent panic and all of the bad political decisions made by public policy makers. A half a dozen sex offenders whose early release because of fears of COVID was condemned by the Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer. I may have reported on this. I do believe I did. Spitzer sharply criticized the decision by a court commissioner to release 7 high-risk sex offenders for time served, and the DA was upset about it. Well, now 6 of the 7 have already been rearrested. They were released, of course, in an effort by the court to do everything in their power to reduce the jail population. I don't even know if this had to do with COVID. They just wanted to reduce the jail population. Like, that's a good thing to do. Well, we need to do everything in our power. Well, that shouldn't include releasing dangerous criminals. I mean, come on. You could execute these guys for what they've done, but that would reduce the population, which would be a lot less expensive. Well, anyway, the release of these, six of the seven have been, Anyway, at the time, when the district attorney came out and said, look, you can't release these dangerous, violent sex offenders, that's a horrible idea. And he criticized these officials directly to their face. And they accused him of fear-mongering and distorting the facts. Well, now there's a new set of facts. But will the cult admit they were wrong? They will not. They will not. They'll say it worked. Because none of the rapists caught COVID-19. So see, it worked. Now we move to the widespread misery file. We're almost out of time. Well, the widespread misery file, Dr. Michael DuBois-Blanc of John Muir Medical Center in Walnut Creek, California, told ABC News 7 last week that he's seen a year's worth of suicide in the last 4 weeks, far more deaths by suicide than from the coronavirus. Casey Hansen, a trauma center nurse, says, quote, what I have seen recently, I've never seen before. I have never seen so much intentional injury. In just one Tennessee county, more people have died by killing themselves than had died in the entire state directly from the coronavirus. A study published in early May suggested that the lockdown could lead to at least 75,000 deaths directly brought on by anxiety from the virus, job losses, and addiction to alcohol and drugs. Another study said that stress is one of the deadliest health hazards in the world, and estimated that the lockdowns will destroy 7 times as many years of human life than strict lockdowns can save. More than 600 doctors signed their names on a letter to President Trump referring to the continued lockdown as a mass casualty incident. I think I have the letter, and I believe it's over 1,500 doctors now. Last I checked, it was over 1,200, but doctors are still allowed to sign this thing. They just have to provide their credentials. Here's what the doctor says. Everybody says we got to listen to the scientists, right? We got to listen to the experts, right? Okay, well, these are doctors that are treating patients with this disease and many, many, many others. Many other less fashionable diseases that are still killing people. In fact, more so because of the lockdowns. The doctor says, we, the undersigned physicians, urgently request that our country's businesses and schools be allowed to reopen. The virus is survivable by greater than 99% of those infected. For those under 60, the estimated infection fatality rate is 0.05%. On average, the infection fatality rate is 0.2. The majority of those infected, perhaps 80%, have no symptoms or mild symptoms at most. We cannot know with certainty how many asymptomatic cases there are or have been. We now know that a well-defined subset of the population is vulnerable. Our resources should be aimed at protecting them and treating them without condemning them to prolonged isolation from the love and comfort of their families and friends. The media is terrifying people. This is the doctor saying this. This isn't just some loudmouth guy on a podcast. But I've been saying this for 3 months. And that's why, so I'm off Matt Drudge now, what, 8 weeks? I have not clicked on the Drudge Report, nor shall I ever again. Because he took part in the purposeful mass terror, inflicting purposeful mass terror and fear upon the population. He should be in jail. Whoever's running the website should be arrested. The doctor says the media is terrifying people. Suicide hotlines have been overwhelmed. Patients are suffering from medical neglect because of the disastrous media narrative instructing people to stay home when they're sick. So people think they're doing good by staying home when they're sick, and they're also afraid to go to the hospital because they might catch COVID. That kills people. Public health, the doctor says, public health officials and administrators have inflicted an unprecedented interference with the physician judgment. Physicians are also pressured to count deaths in a way that inflates the true infection fatality rate. These are the doctors saying this. This isn't me in my tinfoil hat. Not that doctors aren't capable of wearing a tinfoil hat, But I'm telling you, enough physicians have seen this to know. You don't goose Medicare by 20% and don't expect people to take advantage of it by coding things as COVID when there's a close call. That's all. And by the way, Colorado revised down their death rate by over I think it was 300 people, 25%, something like that. And I'll bet that's pretty standard across the country that we're 20, 30% high on the actual death count. And in places like New York and New Jersey, I'll bet it's half. I'll bet they're inflating it by double. That's just my guess. It'll all come out eventually. Finally, the doctor says natural widespread immunity can be achieved safely without waiting for a vaccine. So far signed by over 1,200 credentialed medical doctors. And addressed to Mike Pence. Okay, great. Will America submit to a second lockdown? I have this story from Town Hall. Bottom line, Town Hall believes that ultimately people are going to decide. Number one, ultimately the people are going to decide when this lockdown ends, not the government. The people who are telling us lockdown through July, lockdown through August, they just think they're going to decide. But they're not going to decide because we're going to decide before they do. Based on everything that's happened, the folks at Town Hall say that they have a prediction. The people will resist the imposition of another lockdown, and the establishment will have neither the will nor the ability to push them back into their homes. From your lips to God's ears, I hope that's the truth. And then what I have more. It's all COVID, and I'm really kind of sick of the whole thing. You know, I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. That's all. All right, should I end on this? I'm going to end on this one, even though, because I just want to try to give you some clarity. So we saw China make their move in Hong Kong. Do I believe that that means China released this virus on purpose so they could do that? No, I think China is an opportunistic bunch of kidnappers and murderers, and they'll take advantage of any situation. This just happens to be the one. But people think this thing might have been created in a lab. Well, listen to this. From LifeSite News. Australian scientists have new evidence that the coronavirus is optimized for penetration into human cells rather than animal cells. They tested the propensity of the COVID-19 virus's spike protein to bind to the human type of ACE2 receptors, as well as to many different animal versions of the ACE2 receptor that the COVID protein spike attacks. What they found was that the novel coronavirus most powerfully binds with human ACE2. And with lesser degrees of effectiveness in animals. So they say that a possibility which still cannot be excluded is that the novel coronavirus was created by a recombination event that occurred inadvertently or consciously in a laboratory, with the new virus then accidentally released into the local human population. The results of this study, they say, are either a remarkable coincidence or a sign of human intervention. And so were the Chinese looking at coronavirus in the Wuhan lab? Absolutely they were. They went and got them from the bats. There's videos online of them catching the bats and doing the whole thing. So what were they doing with these viruses? Well, they were trying to get them to behave, to find out how they would behave in human tissue. How do you do that? I'm not sure. But they're tinkering around with stuff that's dangerous is what the bottom line is. And the takeaway from this article for me was that this recombination event could have occurred inadvertently or consciously. So there's still no grand conspiracy to release the virus on the world. China did not conspire to infect all of their best clients. Sorry, all their best customers. But is it possible that some idiots in a lab, irresponsible, doing things they didn't fully comprehend, made a mistake that released a virus upon the world? I think it's possible. In fact, I think the odds that it did not escape from that Wuhan lab are zero. It absolutely got out of that lab. I just don't believe it was on purpose. And I'm not so sure that that they were even able to consciously make this thing worse for humans. And there are so many other possibilities, so many things we don't know. But as we learn more and more, just expect the rational amongst us to become more convinced in our position that all of this is insane and we need to stop. And the Karens are going to get more locked down in their position that this was all good and right and you just want to kill my grandmother. So how do we come back from all that? I'm not sure, folks, but we're going to ride out there together. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life and at RealScienceRadio.com. And of course, my other brother Darrow, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.